Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Marquise Munson this morning, taking you through what is yet another rainy Friday morning. Joe, I feel like, you know, like 85% of the drives I make here, it's just downpouring the whole time. I feel like we live in Seattle.
Yeah, it's too much like that. I mean, I guess I'll take 70 because it's like 70 outside.
Yeah, I'll take that.
There's no jacket today. So, you know, I'm trying to look at the positives. But, yeah, a little bit too many of those drives that are a little bit wet.
We should not have to worry about drought conditions anytime soon. I'm no weather expert and no, like, farming expert, but we should be in good shape from that area, that
yeah,
aspect.
That's true. See? There you go. See, you are turning
See,
into
I'm finding stuff.
Glass half full.
Well, look, we've already said on this show we're about positive affirmation here. That's why I tell you all the time you look so good. I try to do that to Munson, too, but then Munson comes back and – keeps calling me the Parks and Rec version of Chris Pratt. So at that point, the kindness that I have starts to kind of dwindle.
Man, I can't wait till you get over that, man.
I'm not going to get over it.
Is this like Stuart Smalley? Do you know who Stuart Smalley is?
Can't say I do.
Okay. Daily affirmation. Marquise, any idea?
Who?
This is good. This is one of my... No, this is good. I mean, did you ever hear of the Michael Jordan episode of Saturday Night Live?
I did hear that.
Okay. The daily affirmation with Michael Jordan and Stuart Smalley is by far the most famous skit of that. So that's there's a little Gen X homework for you guys.
Okay.
Stuart Smalley, daily affirmation. I'm good enough.
Look, we got plenty of time to look that up.
I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me. Okay?
Look.
Remember those lines.
Okay.
Stuart Smalley.
I can handle that.
All right.
I like that, Joe.
We should, you know, try to make this a regular thing. I mean, this is, you know, I think this is one. I don't blame you guys for not, like, you know, being into the video game Galaga. That's okay. Even though I think it's still a good game.
I think
game.
Galaga's I think a good game.
Okay. It still holds up. But I think Stuart Smalley is, I think that's something that you guys should know.
What's the last video game console you played?
Well, I mean, I play sometimes with my kids on the PS4,
yeah.
Right, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean, they try to get me like, yeah, try this, Dad. And it's just like, I don't want 8 buttons. Like,
that's a lot of buttons.
I don't want it to be this complicated.
Thumb pads.
And plus, again, like, why do we have to have all the killing? I don't mean to, you know, I mean, they make fun of my grandpa driving already. I don't understand why we have to have all this violence in the video games.
Yeah, there is a lot of violence in today's video games.
So, and then,
I have several of them.
Yeah, that's cool. That's fine. I mean, I don't think the sports games, I think, again, it's just too much. My, you know, one of my kids plays, well, it's the NFL game. I actually don't mind watching it because they've got like the announcing is cool.
Yeah.
Like all
great
the
graphics.
Bells and whistles are amazing. But I'm like, yeah, I would take Tecmo Bowl a million times out of a million over that.
I respect it. I like it. Joe yeah. Rexroad, ladies and gentlemen, he is not coming down. He takes a stand, and he believes in it. That's what I respect about you, Joe.
Kind of like music, you know. I mean, I just don't like that much new music. And I know there's a lot of good music being made, but, like, I've got my stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I still like listening to it. So give me some, you know, give me some Steely Dan and some Wu-Tang Clan, and we're good.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Joe, speaking of Joe, there's another Joe in the news besides yourself. Joe Flacco. The Broncos have released him. And look, I think after he left Baltimore, went to Denver, my expectations, I know, were not very high for Joe Flacco, the Denver Broncos quarterback. And after watching him play a couple times last year, he met those expectations. It just wasn't good. And, you know, he wins the Super Bowl in Baltimore. We get that. And is the Super Bowl MVP. And, you know, he gets the big contract after that. And really, ever since then, I think he's kind of been held to that standard, and he's just not that guy. Like, you know, we've seen it happen at times throughout the history of the NFL where he's a good quarterback and was a really good quarterback during his prime, but he's not like this, you always hear this Joe Flacco elite comparison that, that gets thrown out there. I don't think he's that guy. I don't think he's ever really been that guy, just in my opinion, of watching him play.
Yeah, I agree. Well, hey, here's a here's an example for Titans fans. You know, would you take that? Would you take one run, one Super Bowl out of Tannehill, and then he sort of levels off into, you know, average QB that eventually fades away?
The answer should be yes.
Probably 100% approval rating on that one, right? But, yeah, flat. Hey, look, he's had some great moments. He's on the downside, and now he's in that big stew of possible backups out there.
So do you believe there – and you look around the landscape of the NFL right now, there's a lot of quarterback movement going on this offseason. Do you believe there is a landing spot for Joe Flacco where he could be the starter? Because I'm looking around right now with some of the teams that have quarterback openings, and I just don't see a spot. Like, I think Jameis Winston and Cam Newton, those guys may have trouble finding a starting quarterback spot. I just don't see one of those options out there right now for Joe Flacco.
Like, okay, so take Flacco against Jameis Winston. I mean, I guess I could see maybe a team preferring Flacco. I mean, I can see teams being scared away by Jameis's 30 picks.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like the same idea, you know, why did Tom Brady go to Tampa Bay? You know, you can use that against Jameis Winston, too. It's like, man, yeah, he had numbers, but how do you not have numbers with that crew? You know? So I could see that. I mean, but Cam Newton, I still think Cam Newton, if he can be healthy, is a guy who can be a productive and really good starting quarterback in this league right now. So I think, I would put him and then put those two guys. And then, you know, Andy Dalton also is, of course, a guy that we're – I mean, who's left for these guys? I mean, obviously we're trying to figure out with New England. I'm still not buying Jarrett Stidham as their quarterback this year until I actually see that happen.
I'm with you.
You know, I mean, a team like Pittsburgh also – how about Flacco to Pittsburgh? There you go, a little Ravens guy. I mean, like, that's a place that needs a backup that can – yeah, I mean, Roethlisberger's close here.
Yeah.
And he is, you know, he's made of glass right now. I mean, I'm trying to look around at other teams that there's a lot of these teams, or some of them we know are probably going to draft a QB.
Right, like L.A., the Chargers. You're probably going to go with Tyrod Taylor and draft a QB. I mean, that's basically, I think, the plan there in L.A. right now.
I mean, the Bears have now gone with Foles.
Yeah.
You know,
so that's what I'm saying. Like, there's not a ton of spots out there.
There's not much out there. I mean, the big domino, of course, is the Patriots. And does Belichick have interest in any of these guys that are floating around right now? Does Belichick have interest in bringing Jacoby Brissett back and having a Brissett-Stidham tandem? The thing is, if you're Bill Belichick, you've got to, like – I understand, you know, you can do a rebuild and you're Belichick and you're fine and you'll be there as long as you want to be there, but don't you want to instantly try to – I mean, you know that Brady's going to be the talk of the NFL this year. I mean, isn't there a part of you that's like, okay, I'm going to, you know – like you're kind of competing with Brady this year?
Yeah.
Like you're – you know? So
maybe
he
just loves Jarrett Stidham that much.
Yeah, it may be. I mean, hey, when Drew Bledsoe
– yeah.
I mean, if you guys don't remember Stuart Smalley – you may not remember this either, but Drew Bledsoe was the guy.
Oh, I remember.
Okay. All right. Good. And, this sixth-round pick he was putting in for him. You know, I was like, okay, well. I mean,
8-year-old Robbie remembers as well.
But, you know, there was also, even as well as Brady played, it was like, well, okay, well, Bledsoe's getting his job back, right? Of course. I mean, nice job. Nice job of the sixth-round pick.
Way to go, kid.
Good job. But here, pat him on the head and sit him down. That we know how that worked out. So maybe Stidham has demonstrated. I mean, I think Stidham's talented.
Yeah.
I thought he was like at Auburn, you know. I think we saw like a guy is like, okay, I think that guy's good enough to play in the NFL. I still don't know that I've seen anything from him that makes me think, all right, Patriots 11-5.
Well, obviously with Flacco now on the market, we talked yesterday, Joe, about what should the Titans do at the backup quarterback position. Maybe a little too expensive to bring Flacco in. Like, I don't know what that number would be, but an intriguing option out there nonetheless for John Robinson when talking about the backup quarterback position. Probably worth taking a look at. Like, again, I don't know what the number would be, but I mean, you could do worse as a backup quarterback than Joe Flacco.
Yeah, no doubt. I think your first point is right there. I think he's got to be a little bit too high of a price, considering, you know, we don't know everything else. We don't know what the rest of the picture looks like, but I'd be shocked if it doesn't include quite a bit invested in some defensive players moving forward. So I'm excited about what Glennon, you know, Glennon has got me totally on the Blake Bortles train now. So
yeah.
So
can you imagine?
Make it happen, John Robinson.
Blake Bortles gets some playing time here with the Titans, throws it to the right team. That'd be nice.
Yeah, Blake Bortles, you know, outduels Gardner Minshew. I mean, just imagine the possibilities. if they sign Blake Bortles, it will be even more of a shame that they don't have Jarrell Casey anymore.
It really will.
That would be funny.
That'd be hilarious. Like, I often wonder about that. Like, you know, I hardly ever see it in the NHL because people just don't talk about other players in the media. That's fine. NBA, it happens a lot. NFL, it happens to a certain degree a lot. You say these things in the media, and then you end up becoming, like, teammates with them. Like, how does that work? I'm sure that there's a patching up process that goes on, and at the end of the day, it's not that big a deal. You just kind of reset. But, like, when you have some strong comments publicly about somebody that you never think you're going to play with, and then all of a sudden, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, you end up on the same team with them. Interesting balance, interesting dance you have to do there.
I'm sure Bortles would have come in here and slammed Casey against a locker.
Just
and
to prove a point.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got to say now, Jarrell?
Yeah, I have a feeling Jarrell wouldn't. He just would have been like, hey, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Good to see you.
If you do get a chance this time, make sure you're throwing it to our guys.
Hey, what's up? Hope you don't play. All right.
Like, what's somebody going to say to Jarrell Casey?
Right.
Nothing.
Jarrell Casey, by the way, put out a – I mean, you could tell in Jarrell Casey's statement.
Yeah,
that
he's a
hurt.
Little – yeah.
You could tell that he is feeling it. And that's what I wondered. You know, sometimes, I mean, we get hit with this stuff, and it's like, oh, my gosh, what? Then you're like, okay, if you're that guy, like Todd Gurley yesterday, clearly. Yeah. Todd Gurley was not surprised. So if you're Jarrell Casey, how surprised are you? That statement made me think, yeah, that hit him. That hit him a little bit.
I think so, too. And speaking of Todd Gurley, nice segue, Joe.
Thank you.
That's why you're one of the best in the business right here. We're going to talk about Todd Gurley next. Released yesterday by the L.A. Rams. Could he end up with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay? We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode taking you through this Friday morning. Man, it's been a long week. Friday. We're here. We made it.
Made it to the weekend of nothing.
Of nothing. There's a whole lot of sitting around going on this weekend. Going to be a good time. Really looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to sleeping in, though.
I am looking forward to sleeping in. I was saying this the other day. My wife has, this is where we've kind of come to in this process. My wife has devolved into watching Jersey Shore, like the original Jersey Shore, and she's almost
Snooki.
Done with it. Yeah, a whole lot of Snooki's been
going
around.
I never watched an episode of that, but I know the people.
Oh, yeah.
The situation?
The situation. There's a whole bunch of it going on.
You watch that show, Marquise, don't you?
In the beginning I did, and then I realized, what am I doing with my life? Like, well, why am I doing this?
We got to a point last night where I was looking at her, and I was like, hey, are we going to need to have, like, some sort of intervention here? Like, you've watched Jersey Shore for 4 hours tonight, and you've done this pretty much every night this week. Like, she started this week and is already on, like, season 4 or 5.
Yeah, I'd much rather rot my brain with video games and wrestling than, do that. Like, watch that.
Bad reality.
It is bad reality TV.
How many seasons did it have?
I don't know.
Five seasons?
5 or 6.
Because then they start going all over the place. Like, they start, it's like, hey, imagine if we take the Jersey Shore people and take them to Miami.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just like, no.
They're in Italy right now. What we're watching.
Oh, great. Yeah. Now they're in Italy. Great. That's fantastic. Great representation for America. Here's the 7 people from Jersey Shore.
Yes.
In Italy.
I'm sure they were very popular with the Italians over there at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my wife watches. She hasn't watched as much of them lately, but, like, I've watched a lot of Kardashians.
Oh, yeah.
At times before the bats are not really doing that anymore, but man, there's a lot of bad ones. I mean, really, are they all? They all are, right?
They're all pretty bad. Yeah.
By the way, we're going to go back to Stuart Smalley days. I remember when The Real World was a new show.
Yeah.
It was not bad at first, by the way. Someone out there vouch for me.
Simpler times, my friend.
It wasn't like, oh, let's just get seven good-looking people and get them drunk every day.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, here's a person who has a job, and this person has a different
Imagine
job,
that.
And we'll follow them around.
That's right.
And then it became, no, let's just get good-looking people, get them drunk.
Yeah. Just have them scream at each other. Well, Joe, yesterday the L.A. Rams released Todd Gurley. And I saw a stat, I think ESPN Stats and Info tweeted this out. Now that Todd Gurley has been released by the Rams, and he was drafted, I believe, in 2015, no running back from the 2015 draft is still with the team that drafted them, which is just an incredible stat. I mean, you're talking about 5 years there from 2015 to 2020, and now that Gurley has been released by the Rams, no running back still with their team that drafted them in 2015.
And that's a stat.
Man. That's a stat.
Absolutely a stat.
That goes back to, I mean, we've had a lot of conversations about Derrick Henry, and we'll get into this a little bit later in the show as well, but that kind of goes to show what Derrick Henry is battling against right now in terms of the perception of running backs, the production falling off of running backs when they get paid big money. And, you know, you can, obviously with Gurley, you can blame it on injuries. That's a direct link to it, but it does not change the reality of the situation that, you know, running backs right now in the NFL, it's just a really tough position to be in because you look around the league if you're a general manager or if you're an owner, and it's hard to justify at times that big second contract.
Yeah. No, it's very bad time. Now, again, like the Titans have to look at their own situation and look at their own person and judge that way. But there's no question that it's just like, you know, when the Titans were, you know, supposedly, you know, what, interested in Brady or whatever was going on there. And, you know, the combine saying nice things. I mean, at that time, I thought to myself, like, that's, you know, that's helpful a little bit somewhere in there when you're negotiating with Tannehill. You know, just the fact that that's out there. I really think that that is, you know, I think that's something that can help the team side when you have something like that. And it's the same thing with running backs. I mean, the bottom line is all anybody talks about is all these guys who have flamed out. And we've known for a long time that the overall shelf life for a running back is short. Like, honestly, that stat, the fact that there's none of those guys, that is amazing. But also, you expect in 5 years a whole bunch of guys in a particular draft class at running back to not even be in the league.
Yeah.
So, you know, so the shelf life's been short, but there have been plenty of guys over the years who have been paid and have performed. I mean, plenty of guys. It's just that right now we're on this run of top guy after top guy after top guy who is just flaming out. And again, like Gurley, that's the thing. Like if I'm on the Henry side of the table, I'm like, look, Todd Gurley blew his knee in college and came in.
I was watching that game. It was ugly.
Awful. And so had to totally rehab that, came in, and, you know, I read a lot of stuff yesterday about Gurley after the release, and you know, there's very little question, even though they never really talked about it. They were very hush-hush about it, but that left knee was a problem again. It was pretty obvious, and I mean, even like in the Super Bowl, after this guy was one of the main reasons they were there, well, where is he?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah, he was hurt. Look, I will flip it around on running backs and say, why were the Rams great? When were the Rams great? The Rams were great exactly at the same time that Todd Gurley was great.
Yeah.
The Rams were great because Todd Gurley was great.
Now,
I mean,
now they've handed out that big contract to Jared Goff.
Yeah.
And you know Sean McVay is looking at this right now like, oh, man.
Well, how much better was Jared Goff when Todd Gurley was great? He was up. So, which, again, I've gotten into some Twitter stuff back and forth with people about Tannehill and Henry, and I think the answer, whatever you think, the quarterback's most important position, but Henry was the focal point of this team, and the bottom line is they helped each other. And Jared Goff got that deal because Todd Gurley was great. So, you can dismiss the running back position if you want and say they're not important, but there's a team that's right now about a 9-7 team that not that long ago was a 12-4 Super Bowl team because it had a great running back.
Yeah, and now with Gurley being released by the Rams, the obvious connection that everybody's going to make, not just with Gurley, but really every time somebody's out there for the next few weeks, are they going to go to Tampa Bay? Are they going to join Tom Brady with the Bucs? And we've mentioned the weapons Tampa Bay has on offense, and it's always Mike Evans and O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin, all of these things that come up, Brady now in the fold as well. Running backs, probably an area they could use some help in. I think Ronald Jones is their starting running back at the moment. No disrespect to Ronald Jones. He's not Todd Gurley. Now, maybe he is now Todd Gurley being hurt.
That's the question.
But I do wonder, like, is Gurley, could he be interested in going to Tampa Bay? And does he have anything left in the tank? Like, obviously he's not going to be worth what the Rams gave him in terms of the contract. But can he get back to a spot where he is relatively healthy, probably not an every down running back, but can use him kind of as that specialty running back, catching the ball out of the backfield, making plays that way. If that can be the case, I think it's a great fit in Tampa.
I mean, hell, how could he not be interested in that? You know, I mean, you know, it seems like a lot of guys who have some freedom right now would be flocking to that place. I mean, there aren't a lot of spots left, but that's certainly a need. Yeah, Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber.
Yeah.
I mean, that if you could upgrade that significantly with everything else, I mean, my goodness, that could be a fun offense to watch. So now, of course, you know, Devontae Freeman is another guy who's out there who certainly did not perform at the level his contract demanded, but I still think he's a, you know, pretty good player. I mean, there's some options for them out there, but yeah, that would be a blast. How about Gurley and Antonio Brown to Tampa?
Yeah. You talk about can you imagine putting that team on paper like 3 years ago? Brady, Antonio Brown, Gurley, Evans, and Chris Godwin. Like, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, Antonio Brown and Gurley, much different situations now for different reasons than they were this time 3 years ago. But just crazy to think about if Gurley does end up there, if down the road Antonio Brown can play and can return to the NFL. Tampa Bay, and Schefter tweeted this out yesterday. There's a lot of free agents right now who want to go play with Tom Brady in Tampa, and a lot of guys that I think the Bucs weren't expecting to be interested to come play are now interested to go there and play. So I'm interested to see who all ends up there.
Yeah, like who?
Like who are they?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, like who on that list of all these guys would actually be of interest? I mean, running back is that's the need. I mean, certainly another. Top receiver would be great. Antonio Brown's the one that's fun to talk about, but like you said, there's a lot that has to go into that. Who else is out there who would be, you know, really make a difference there? I mean, those two guys alone and the two tight ends, you feel good about your group. I have little doubt that's a pretty big factor in why Brady's there, along with Bruce Arians.
Yeah, I think so too. And the other move LA made yesterday, releasing Clay Matthews. So I think Matthews was there for 1 year in L.A. Didn't work out so well for him. And Rob Domofsky, who covers the Green Bay Packers, tweeted out something about him potentially coming back to the Packers. Aaron Rodgers liked it, so that's got everybody all fired up
there
now.
There you go.
Clay Matthews, he's coming back. He's going back to the Packers. Still has great hair, though.
Aaron Rodgers, great hair.
I mean, my goodness, those Head and Shoulders commercials.
They're not quite Troy Polamalu, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good indeed. And then, like, if you're the Rams, so you've just cut Gurley. Matthews is now gone. You've got Goff's gigantic contract. Still going to have to pay Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
That's going to be the – I mean, he's probably going to be the highest-paid cornerback in the history of the league, I would think, or at least right up there in that conversation. So a lot of money going to have to be spent.
I don't think he's going to settle for anything less than
that. I don't
think
he is either.
And he's awfully good. No, it's amazing. I mean, we're headed toward, like – we're already kind of out of, like, if you know Sean McVay, you'll get a head coaching job in the league.
Yeah.
It's funny how personnel issues can suddenly make a genius look less like a genius.
Yeah.
Because they're not in a great spot right now.
They are not in a great spot at all. Although, under the new playoff format, they would have made the playoffs last year.
That is true.
They would have been the seventh seed.
So they would say they would have played Green Bay. Okay.
Yeah. And let me tell you, as a Green Bay fan, they probably would have won that game. Maybe the most fraudulent 13-3 team in NFL history, but I digress. When we come back, Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville will join us. We'll get into some comments Philip Fulmer had earlier this week. Also take a look at the quarterback battle brewing in Tennessee. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week we bring in our good friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on, man? There he is, Josh.
Hey, good morning. Hey. Good to be with you guys.
Good to be with you. So, Josh, Philip Fulmer this week had some strong comments on the coronavirus situation and was kind of urging young people to take it seriously, get involved, realize that it's not just about them. Coach Ed Orgeron in LSU did something similar this week. How important is it that these college football figures and college athletic figures are kind of taking the ball and running with it in terms of getting out there and being visible in the fight against the coronavirus?
Well, I do think it's important because they're influential. Fans are going to listen to Philip Fulmer. They're going to listen to head coaches around the SEC. LSU fans, I think, are going to pay attention when Ed Orgeron speaks, or Kirby Smart at Georgia, or Dan Mullen at Florida. I think that's true. Rick Barnes was very strong in his comments earlier this week when Philip Fulmer had his press conference. A few of Tennessee's coaches were there as well. Rick Barnes was among them, and he said he's not sure that student athletes in this case, but young people in general in that age range, that they recognize the seriousness of the conversation, and also added that he doesn't know that he would have at their age. So whether we're talking about the age range of 18 to 22, 23 years old, or we're just talking people in general, because the conversation can apply to any age range, fans are going to listen to college football coaches in the Southeastern Conference, I can assure you, and basketball coaches and people in similar positions. So I think what they say in this particular instance does matter for sure.
Speaking of coaches in the Southeastern Conference, Josh, a little bit of a chain reaction here, which you could trace to Georgia hiring Scott Cochran away to be a coach. And, of course, he was Nick Saban's longtime strength coach. And now if you can trace that all the way to New York Giants opening and Craig Fitzgerald leaving Tennessee for the Giants, how big of a deal is this? How big of a loss is this for Jeremy Pruitt's program?
Yeah, Joe, it's a big deal, and I don't know what the impact will be because we don't know exactly what Tennessee will do to fill that replacement. But Jeremy Pruitt has been very open with his praise for Craig Fitzgerald, and there's a reason Craig Fitzgerald was one of the three or four highest-paid strength coaches in the country. But just last week, Jeremy Pruitt, when he met with the media after Tennessee's first spring practice, was talking about the job that Craig Fitzgerald and his staff have done. And I think it's worth noting that he mentioned his staff because Tennessee could promote from within to replace Craig Fitzgerald. But having him on campus was a big deal. As you know, if you think back over the last, now we're talking 12 or 13 years, Tennessee has not been able to find any consistency with its strength program. The closest would have been the first 3 years when Butch Jones was in Knoxville with Dave Lawson as the strength coach. But Butch Jones made a change, did not go out and hire somebody before that 2016 season, which was such a critical year, and you know how things went from there. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen here. I'm just pointing out that Tennessee has really needed some kind of continuity in that strength program, and it looked like it was there with Craig Fitzgerald, who, again, was so highly paid and so highly respected, and now he's gone, and he has to be replaced at what is a pretty critical time, right? The athletes aren't even with their strength coaches right now working out. So when they get back to work, whenever that happens, it's going to be a really important time to get everything in order before the start of the season. Having Craig Fitzgerald probably would have offered more confidence that that would take place. But again, you can just listen to Jeremy Pruitt and what he said about Craig Fitzgerald, and that'll tell you what Tennessee is losing with him going to the New York Giants.
Josh, you know this as well as anybody. There have been times over the last 10 to 15 years where the Tennessee football program has struggled to find one quarterback that's of starting quality, much less two or three. You look at the quarterback battle going on right now at Tennessee with Garantano and Maurer, Harrison Bailey coming in. Just a really interesting situation for the Vols right now. How do you kind of view this quarterback battle, and how do you see it shaking out once the fall begins?
Going into the spring, I thought it was pretty clear that Jerry Garantano was QB1, that he would kind of lead the way. Now, this offseason is going to be different when Jeremy Pruitt talks about that position compared to a year ago. A year ago, Garantano was Tennessee's clear-cut starter at quarterback, and I would project him to be that at the start of the 2020 season, but I don't think we're going to hear Jeremy Pruitt talk about that position that way. It does have to hurt Harrison Bailey and the other young quarterbacks that they don't get to go through spring practice right now, and maybe some things change there. But if you're coming in and you're trying to win a job, well, it's difficult, I'd say, if you don't get the work that you expect with the coaches, because also losing Juwan Jennings, losing Marquez Callaway, Donwood Anderson is gone as well. Right now the coaches have to wonder what they have at the skill positions on the outside. And if you have questions there, I think you're more likely to lean to the veteran quarterback. Now, this is a conversation that's subject to change. Maybe they get out there. First of all, maybe they get some spring practice in. That's a long shot. But maybe they get out there in August and Harrison Bailey just wows them and he's the guy and they have to go to him. But I would not count on that. So I would say Garantano is most likely the starter at the beginning of the season. Then you see how it plays out. And we know that Tennessee is willing to make a change because it happened last year. And now the competition for that spot is going to be even tougher.
Yeah, were you able to break down every single pass that Harrison Bailey threw in those brief drills, Josh? I'm sure, I know there's videos up there, you know.
Yeah.
Like a video of him throwing like a 10-yard out against air is getting thousands of views, right? I mean, obviously tons of excitement over this kid.
Yeah, it was your colleague David Ubben, I think
that's right.
Video. Yeah. And I should pull it up and see what the number was, but it was a fairly outrageous number after just a few hours of how many people had watched him throw a nice pass on air against no defender. But that tells you how passionate fans are and maybe in this case how either intrigued they are or desperate. It depends on which fan we're talking about, because everybody's going to have different feelings toward it. But we know that a lot of fans would like to see Harrison Bailey come in and be the guy. And that's another element to this conversation, is as much as we might say, yeah, I think Garantano's the projected starter, I think right now he would be the starter for the opening game. A lot of fans are going to say, I don't want that to be the case. I want it to be Harrison Bailey. And if it ends up being Harrison Bailey, I think that's a good thing for Tennessee, because the coaches, they still have a pretty high level of trust in Garantano. They wanted him back this year, and they made that clear to him. So if Tennessee were to go to Harrison Bailey early on in the season at the start of the year, that means he would have wowed them, I think. But fans have already, I think, and not all but many, have already decided what they want. That just might differ from what Tennessee's coaches either want or believe is in the best interest of the Vols right now.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us. And, Josh, you mentioned losing Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway. It's going to be difficult to fully replace the production those two guys were able to have on the field. How does Tennessee best go about replacing those two guys this year in their passing game?
Yeah, the conversation with the wide receivers, you can have the roll call because there are a number of names to run through. Not as much on campus right now, but when you include freshmen who will arrive this summer, it's a pretty deep number of names. But when you talk about freshmen, there's the obvious level of unknown. How ready are they right away? The first name that has to be mentioned is Josh Palmer. He needs to be a clear number one for Tennessee in this offense. And then I'll be intrigued to see what Ramel Keaton does as a second-year player. He was an All-American in the 2019 class. Stepped up and made a couple of plays in the bowl game for Tennessee when Juwan Jennings was out in the first half. So that was at least an indication maybe of what Tennessee's coaches saw with the offense with Juwan gone, with Ramel Keaton out there. And he's a guy that can make plays down the field. He has talent. You're just looking to see if he can do that on a consistent basis more often. So that's a question. And then some veteran players. Brandon Johnson held on to his senior year. He redshirted after four games, so he's a fifth-year senior. Avilas Jones, the transfer from USC, a guy with a lot of speed. He can factor in as a kick returner. D'Angelo Gibbs is somebody to pay attention to, a transfer from Georgia who was actually a DB at Georgia, but now he's probably a wide receiver after sitting out as a transfer. And then again, those freshmen. So it's a talented freshman class. They've got speed. They have, I think they have a number of different type of players that will be coming in. Jalen Hyatt is somebody to pay attention to, I think, out of South Carolina. There's just a lot of unknown, and that's why I mentioned that when I talk about Tennessee's quarterbacks.
All right, Josh, I wanted to switch it to hoops real quick. And actually, I was able to catch up with Kelly Harper yesterday for something coming up at The Athletic. But, you know, I think we kind of all expect the men's Vols to be a much better next year with the recruits coming in and some guys growing up. But what about the Lady Vols? What do you think about, because, you know, not losing a lot, but not a huge class coming in, but also some young players that I think can really get a lot better. What do you think's realistic next season for that team?
I would say realistically, you're still probably talking about the Lady Vols trying to be in the middle to upper half of the SEC, which they were this year. But I would say more competitive against the top teams in the league. Tennessee mainly took advantage of the weaker competition in conference. And then while competitive in some of those games, it was clear that there was a gap between the top teams in the SEC and Tennessee. Can Tennessee be closer there and be more solidified in a position for the NCAA tournament? Because while we didn't get a bracket, we know that the Lady Vols were kind of hanging on for a spot in the NCAA tournament, and that's not where it needs to be. So I think Tennessee needs to, on the court, obviously take better care of the basketball, because that was a major concern, turning it over on such a regular basis, be better around the basket, and then you still look for, I think, leadership to help guide Tennessee against teams. South Carolina is the class of the conference. Can you show that you're headed toward that that level? And then they've got to recruit at a higher level. They just have to get more talent if they're going to be at that level on the court. So on the court, they have to be a more consistent team, a team that trusts the coaching from Kelly Harper. Off the court, they have to find more players.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Josh, thanks as always, man, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff as always from Josh there. He's one of the best in the biz. Is it going to be interesting? I mean, this quarterback battle for Tennessee, this not having a spring practice and spring, you know, the reps you can get, I think really does hurt Harrison Bailey. I thought Garantano was going to be the guy to start the season anyway, but I feel a lot more strongly, I guess, about that now. Just because when you're a freshman coming in, like, you need every rep you can get. I think it's especially to win over the trust of the coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a guy like Harrison Bailey, obviously it takes a lot of work to be able to early enroll, get done with high school early, give up. Of course, you're giving up like prom and stuff that isn't happening anyway, I guess. But still, I mean, the whole idea is to get all these reps and to give yourself a shot at making up ground. And now it's not there. There's only so much you can do at home throwing the ball around and watching film.
Yeah, a really tough start for him. Now, look, nobody could have anticipated what's happened, so you just kind of take the punches and roll with it. And speaking of that, you had an article about that with the Belmont basketball team. Win the OVC championship in the tournament, and all of a sudden you feel like, all right, cool, we're going to the NCAA tournament. Feel really good about your team. I think they had won 12 games in a row at that point, and then the rug gets pulled out from underneath you. We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this Friday morning. Rexrode is just captivated by what's on the MLB Network right now.
This is so awesome.
I mean, he is just fired up. What this is a Detroit Tigers versus New York Yankees game on. When would we estimate this is from?
Well, if it was the year Mark the Bird Fidrich was great and he's the one pitching this game, it would have been 77, I believe. So that's what I'm trying to figure that out. This actually isn't listed. MLB is running like 20 greatest games. This is not listed in that. So I guess they're just throwing up a Tigers, you know, Yankees game from them. But yes, anyone who doesn't know Mark the Bird Fidrich, in 76, he was, maybe it was 76, he's rookie of the year, led the majors with a 2.34 ERA. He was on Sports Illustrated. He was on Sesame Street. He was, you know, the bird. And then he blew his arm and it was over quickly. But I mean, you watch this right here. I wish I was taping this, man, because like he's talking to himself, talking to the ball, talking to the dirt.
Like, this is intense.
And then he's got that just wacky throwing motion, which probably didn't help the arm thing, but he's out there just throwing seeds. I mean, man.
You know what? I'm watching this game, and look, I've grown up playing baseball and watching baseball my whole life. The pitchers sometimes, they take forever. I mean, they get on the mound, they're sitting there, they're going through about eight signals. They finally get, and they've helped it a little bit with the pitching clock. But this guy,
man,
he steps on the mound, he's ready to pitch.
Yeah, I love
it.
And
I respect it.
Oh,
that's what we need to get back to the game of baseball.
We need way more of that. And did you notice that as they went to break,
Monday Night Baseball,
that was a big deal. We used to have Monday Night Baseball. It was so exciting.
Stop all the changing the gloves and the messing with the batting gloves, all these different things. Just go out and play baseball.
Yeah, and yes, pitchers, just pitch.
Just throw the ball.
Use a little pace.
That's right. Joe, you had a very interesting article on the Belmont men's basketball team, and we know the story. I mean, they won the OVC championship in a great game, a classic game against Murray State. And we're going to have Tyler Scanlon join us at 9 o'clock here on the show to talk a little bit more about this. But it is interesting, Joe, how you go from, you know, the jubilation of winning that game. You think you're back in the NCAA tournament. Casey Alexander has a great first year in his first year at Belmont, and you're looking ahead to what might be in the NCAA tournament. And then, of course, we all know the tournament gets canceled due to coronavirus. And those seniors, especially, who think they have more basketball still left to play, all of a sudden, it's over. I mean, that's got to be a really strange, empty feeling. I mean, it's one of those things that not really anybody has any experience with. So reading your article today on The Athletic about the Belmont men's basketball team and how they've handled that, really, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I talked to a few, I wanted to talk to the seniors, and I kind of had this idea of let's kind of wrap things up for the teams that would have played in the NCAA tournament. And really, in this state, there's three. I mean, basically, you have Belmont, you have East Tennessee State, and by the way, I've got a big piece on East Tennessee State, the Bucks, coming out today on theathletic.com/Nashville, and then the Lady Vols. And that, we'll write about them for next week. But really, I mean, other than like Tennessee making a run, or you know, Memphis had a chance. Memphis, if they would have had a good run in their tournament, you know, they might have got in. But that was it. Yeah. It was a light year, but I thought, let's write about these teams. And, of course, part of it is, what are you doing? You know, so even these guys are – it's sort of like we're practicing, we're ready, and now go home, everybody. Everybody, get out. You got to get off campus. Go. Obviously, this is – you know, and society has been hit in the face with this. But for these guys who right now, you know, yesterday or today, they would be playing an NCAA tournament game, you know, Thursday and Friday – just special days in the sports calendar. And for these guys, you know, an opportunity. I mean, the two of the seniors, Michael Banker, very underrated, great defensive player. And then Seth Adelsberger, you know, backup big man. I mean, they played last year in the NCAA tournament. They were part of the only NCAA win in Belmont history, which was Rick Bird's last win. But Tyler Scanlon, grad transfer from Boston University, this was his chance, you know. And he got the winning bucket to beat Murray State on that great backdoor play, and then it's over. But I tell you what, talking to these guys, and I wrote this in a piece, like, if you want to feel better, if you want to stop feeling sorry for yourself or feeling bad about, you know, what's going on or bored or whatever, like, talk to these guys. They'll make you
–
the perspective
believe.
They had was really impressive.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I couldn't believe the perspective that they have, and, you know – I'm not going to give away everything in the article, but basically we're just talking about, you know, some people didn't even get a chance to play their conference tournament, much less the NCAA tournament, so at least they got to do that. So really impressive perspective, especially when you consider, I mean, these guys are 21, 22, 23 years old. Like, a lot of times, I know myself, I did not have that perspective when I was that young, so it's really impressive to see.
Yeah, like these are not young people who are flocking to cram like a spring break
the
bar.
Beaches.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I mean, like they're already, you know,
they're not getting interviewed on the side of the street.
Yeah. You know, these, and that's, I mean, look, Belmont leads the country, leads college basketball and academic All-Americans since 2001. They're the only program that has had like the public recognition for APR, which is the academic progress rate, every single year. The only program, not, you know, name anybody you want, Ivy League schools. No, I mean, it's Belmont. So, you know, I mean, it's a place that Rick Bird established a level of excellence beyond, you know, winning basketball games. So usually you go over to Belmont and you're going to be talking to impressive kids. But yeah, I mean, Scanlon in particular, you know, like he said, his last game was a championship win. Bankert's talking about, I mean, Belmont baseball is like, that was off to a great start. They're done. You know, we got to, you know, cut nets. So it was, I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's kind of like, I used to say this when I covered Kirk Cousins. Like, you talk to Kirk Cousins and, like, you feel bad about yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you talk to some people sometimes, you're like, man, I'm really like a selfish
jerk.
Know? Yeah. And it's kind of like that with these guys, but it was good to talk to them, and they had a great year. And honestly, next year, Belmont should be really, really good again. Although, I don't know if you saw it, but Jeff Goodman has Austin Peay in his preseason top 25. So the OVC, Belmont, Austin Peay, and Murray is going to be great again, too. It's going to be, I think, as good a year for the league as it's had in a while. And, of course, last year, of course, they got an at-large yeah. bid with Belmont getting that bid.
Joe, it looks like Andy Kennedy getting back in the world of coaching. Former Ole Miss coach, looks like he is going to be the next coach at UAB. He's done some work on the SEC network as well. Good for UAB getting in there and hiring Andy Kennedy.
Yeah.
That'll be fun to watch.
He's a good coach. I will say, though, I'm sad for those of us who like his analysis on the SEC network. Yeah. I thought he was good. He's a really funny guy. I mean, he was probably the highlight of SEC Hoops Media Days when they used to have it in Nashville.
Yeah.
And he's a good coach. You know, I mean, they didn't – obviously, it didn't achieve at the level that, you know, that they wanted to eventually and moved on, and they've got Kermit now. But that's a good hire for UAB, no doubt about it.
It's interesting to me, and it's like, especially in today's landscape, the balance of coaches. Like, you see some coaches that – they get out of the game, and maybe they're going to work for these TV networks, and they are trying to get back in as soon as they possibly can. Like, they're there basically going through the motions on TV networks.
Like Bryce Drew this year. Yeah. And he got a job at Grand Canyon.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Yeah, Avery Johnson did it. He was on NBA TV NBA on ESPN for a couple of years before taking Alabama.
I like him on
TV,
too.
Yeah, I did, too. He was actually great.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if you want to come to Alabama. you might want to stay on TV with Michelle Beadle. And I think he was doing it with Magic Johnson at the time.
Right.
And I'm
that's
like,
the thing,
though. That is a gig right there. You might need to keep that.
It's interesting now to find that balance of, like, which guys are really looking headfirst into getting back into coaching. But you have some guys that they get into a TV studio, they get into that job, they really like it. And they're like, okay, I'm staying here.
That was John Gruden for the longest.
Yeah, and Seth Greenberg on the college hoops front, was a good coach. He did a really good job at Virginia Tech. And I thought he'd be quickly, but I think he's a TV lifer.
Yeah.
It's not a bad, you know, especially if you can get that Romo money. But
yeah,
you know,
we're all looking for Romo
money. Getting that Romo money. By the way, I wanted to ask you on the does Vingan do a good job? Is he pushing the Athletic a lot when he's
oh a lot
yeah. See, he's better than me. He does a better job.
He pushes
than me
it almost too much. Almost too much.
All right. Well, good job, Vingan.
Yeah, he's a company guy.
I'll try to be more annoying.
I think he was even wearing like an Athletic T-shirt. So it was like all over.
I mean, I've worn the sweatshirt in here, so that's okay.
When we come back, we talked about Todd Gurley earlier in the show. Does that prove his situation with the Rams prove that the Titans made the right decision to put the franchise tag on Derrick Henry? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.